Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome back to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Chronic pelvic pain for women is something you don't hear much about, and it is not because of its lack of prevalence. Researchers estimate that 12 to 20% of all women have chronic pelvic pain, and up to 33% of women will have pelvic pain in their lifetime, and as many as 60% of women with chronic pelvic pain never receive a specific diagnosis. Shedding some light on this important topic is Issa Herrera, MSPT, CSCS, author of Ending Female Pain, A Woman's Manual, the ultimate self-health guide for women suffering from chronic pelvic and sexual pain. Dr. Christine Northrup, MD, says, quote, "Ending female pain is a treasure. Issa Herrera has put together the best possible resource for helping women heal pelvic pain and live fully and comfortably." Issa Herrera, MSPT, CSCS, owns and operates Renew Physical Therapy, a leading healing center in New York City. She has dedicated her career to helping women find relief from conditions such as dyspareunia, incontinence, pelvic pain, prolapse, and pre- and postnatal complications. Ms. Herrera's approach to healing is holistic, utilizing techniques that tie together mindful, painful body components. She believes that everyone holds the key to their pain relief. All they need is to be shown the way. Her goal is to always empower her patients with the tools they need to succeed on their own. Ms. Herrera's passion for women's health and healing began after working for many years with pregnant women who many times suffer from sexual pain and other problems after the birth of her children. She has appeared on national television on both the Regis and Kelly show on NBC's Today Show, where she promoted her work in her first book, The Pregnant Couple's Guide to Working Together. Her second book, Ending Female Pain, A Woman's Manual, is hands down the most comprehensive resource on this topic available on the market today, filled with advanced techniques to relieve pain, presented in a way that any woman can understand and use to conquer her pain. Issa, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to have you on the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, in your introduction to your wonderful book, Ending Female Pain, you write, quote, "My first exposure to pelvic floor muscle dysfunction came when I taught pre- and postnatal exercise classes in New York City." Now, I also mentioned that in the introduction. Now, what kind of things did you hear from your students?
Oh, all kinds of things. Most of the things that I heard from my students is they have pelvic pressure. And they just don't know what it is, sort of like a feeling of heaviness in the pelvis. Many of them would tell me, the prenatal ones anyway, that they would leak with cough, sneezing, or laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they have the babies, I would hear things like there's pain during sexual intercourse with my husband, or things just don't feel right down there, or I just had an episiotomy and it hurts and I can't sit and breastfeed my child.
Mm.
So these are the many things that I would hear from these patients. Well, actually, they were my students at that point.
Yeah, and it didn't sound like they were getting much help from their obstetricians. Were they just not sure what to do, or there just isn't much help out there at the time?
I think it's a combination of both things. I think that many times the caregiver would say, you know, welcome to motherhood. This is the way it's going to be. Yeah, congratulations, exactly. And what I'm here to say is that, you know, you don't have to live that way. There are things that you can do to help yourself.
Yeah, there certainly are. And your book is so fabulous. I mean, talk about a manual that actually has pictures and explanations and takes you through exactly what you need to do. It's really wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, so you were seeing all this, and then you decided, hey, there's something going on here, and you decided to go back to school, if you can tell us about that.
Absolutely. So I was like, wow. I mean, I was hearing all these things. I'm like, how can I help these women? There's no way that these women have to live this way. And I'm thinking, okay, so what can I do? And I was doing the personal training thing, and I had done that for 15 years, and I was in the prenatal and postpartum exercises, and I said, you know what, I need to do something that I can reach out to this population. And I said, I'm going to go to physical therapy school, because I knew that there was a branch of physical therapy that was called women's health. At that point, I didn't know exactly what it was. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to... So I left everything. I closed my shop down, which was really hard to do.
Okay.
And then I said, I'm going to go to school. And at much later in my life, I said... This, and then I applied to school. I got in. I was so happy. And I knew from day one what I wanted to do. I knew that this was where I wanted to go eventually, that I wanted to be in women's health, that I wanted to help women who suffer from pelvic pain, sexual pain, incontinence, prolapse. Sometimes something as simple as low back pain or sciatica that can be easily helped during pregnancy or the postpartum period.
Wow, I didn't even know this existed. I'm the women's health aspect, because we're going to get into a little bit later. I wanted to talk about the musculature of the pelvis, you know, in a very layman's terms. Mm-hmm. But that's so wonderful that you found out, and that's incredible that you actually, you know, stopped what you were doing, and what it's so wonderful that you followed your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and thank goodness you did.
Yeah, because, thank goodness I did.
Yeah, you're
because
helping.
A lot of women are really like, all they need to do is to be shown the way, mm-hmm. to teach them the techniques, and then they can follow through at home, you know, on their own time.
Oh, that's really great.
You know, at their own level. And sometimes what we do here at the Healing Center in New York is we bring the partners in, and we teach them how to help their women. And we'll teach them things like, if they can get it, and most of them do, how to correct the pelvis. Which you would think that the only person that can do that would be a chiro or
yeah,
a
I was
physical
just thinking
therapist.
That. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
No, but we use muscle energy techniques, and it may take a couple of sessions before they get it, but when they get it, they get it. And these women who have the sciatica, and usually it's an issue of being out of alignment, and their husbands help them out, it's like it's a whirlwind.
Oh, that's
they're so
terrific.
Much happier. They can enjoy the pregnancy better. They're not in pain 24/7, and most of these women are working.
Yeah, that's tough. Now, you just mentioned muscle energy technique. What is that?
Muscle energy technique is a way to get, say that you have your pelvis out of alignment and it's rotated anteriorly. So it's like forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to use the muscles that connect to the bone to get the malalignment back into proper place. And it's very gentle. It's not like a thrusting that sometimes you get with chiropractors. That grade 5 that sometimes could be a little bit too aggressive for women who are very lax during prenatal and the postpartum period. So it's a very gentle technique that uses muscle contraction to realign.
Oh, okay.
And so, very easy to learn.
Now, how does the energy come in? Is that in terms of, because I know you do a lot of mind-body stuff, which I love,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's really important. Is that part of it, or is that, I just wasn't sure where how?
No, I think it's the energy that's created within the muscle,
okay.
the contraction, and then the release of that contraction puts the thing back into place. Oh. So I think it's the conversion of the muscle contracting and then the muscle releasing. So I think that's why they call it muscle energy techniques.
Oh, okay. So this pelvic pain we're talking about sometimes has to do with things being out of, the pelvis being out of alignment. And then there's other things, obviously. I mean, there's some things I mentioned in the introduction that I'm sure I mispronounced.
Yeah, dyspareunia.
Yes, thank you.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, okay. I know. I was like, dyspareunia.
Yeah, it took me a couple of years to learn how to pronounce these too.
Now, that have to do with urination in some way? I can't remember. I read it in your book, but I
think dyspareunia is a catch-all phrase. It basically means painful intercourse.
Oh, painful intercourse. Okay.
Yeah, painful intercourse. So it's a catch-all phrase when they don't know what you have. They say you have dyspareunia.
Okay.
But it can be related to malalignment of the pelvis. It could be related to most of the time, the pelvic floor muscles are in spasm.
Okay.
Or they're very tight, or they have trigger points in them. And there's ways that you can remedy and try to get the muscle to restore its normal function.
Oh, you know, one of the things I read in your book that I was so fascinated by was it said to Kegel or not to Kegel. Now, I grew up with my mother constantly being, I mean, not as a little kid, but getting, you know, teenage years being like, don't forget, you got to do your Kegels. I was like, oh boy. And I was, so when I thought, oh, to not Kegel, let me see this. What, you know, what's this all about? And I was fascinated to learn that some women are, it's not about being too loose. It's about being too tight. And you had just alluded to that. If you can tell us more about that.
Absolutely. I think that's one of my favorite chapters. You know, I was thinking, everybody's like, what do I do? And, you know, you go to your caregiver, you go to the OB, and the OB is like, do your Kegels.
Yep.
But if they're in a painful flare-up, or if their muscles are in spasm, or they're hypertonic, which means they're just very, very tight, then a Kegel is going to be, it's going to be detrimental because they're going to put the muscles into more spasm. So first we have to create the normal length of the muscle, the normal like tension of the muscle, by doing what I call a reverse Kegel,
okay.
a drop down, a release. And I think that that's the problem when women who have these conditions go to a regular physical therapist. They say, okay, just do your Kegels.
Oh, okay.
And then it gets them into trouble and they get flare-ups, painful flare-ups.
So you have to, they have to be examined, though, to know whether the Kegel is going to make them worse or whether they should be doing those reverse Kegels. Is that, now, you talk about self-exams in the book. Is that something they can figure out on their own, or do they need to see someone like you first and then?
They can always see a physical therapist. It's not going to hurt them to go and see someone who specializes in this field just to get them started. But actually, I think it's very simple, you know, that you can actually do the self-examination and feel for, basically, when these women contract, they stay contracted. They don't ever drop down the muscles, because the muscles have to sort of rise up with the contraction and they have to go down and release. So when they do a Kegel, they stay up, and that creates more tension, and then that leads to the painful, vicious cycle of more pain and more trigger points and more spasms.
Now, is it easy to learn how to do the reverse Kegel?
No, it's not.
I was about to say, I'm sitting here like I know how to do the regular ones. But
I think especially since, you know, I live in New York, and I think New Yorkers tend to hold very tight and high. It's like you call it up and tight, you know?
Up and tight. I like that. That's
and it's,
funny.
It's kind of, it's a stressful situation. If you're in a stressful situation, these muscles will respond to what's happening around you.
Oh,
and it's like the core of your being. Is if you believe in chakras, it's the second chakra, the first and second chakra in that area. So that's the energy, right? And then we tend to protect ourselves. So if any kind of traumatic event happens, these muscles, what they've found is that these muscles will pull up and in.
Oh, this is fascinating. So even just being under regular stress can cause
dyspareunia.
Dyspareunia.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends, you know, but the tension is there. And then to release it, it has a lot to do with mind-body and the breath.
Yes.
And the connection to the muscles. And that takes a little while, but most people get it.
Oh, that's good. And you also have the Pilates routine
yoga
as well, if you can tell us about that.
Well, I think that, you know, you have to treat, when the patients come to see us, and I have an incredible team here, it's not just me, I have two other therapists that are with me and one on maternity leave. When they come in, what we try to do is we try to look at the whole body, because it's not just your pelvic floor muscles, and everything is connected. So if you have a weak core, if your back muscles are weak, and because everything is so interconnected in the pelvis through fascia, it will have an effect on the muscles. So what we try to do is try to take a load off, if you might, off the pelvic muscles by creating strength around it and flexibility. So with the yoga, those exercises are fantastic, because through this fascia, this interconnection, you can release tension in the pelvis by just doing these simple exercises.
Oh, that's great. So I love yoga and Pilates. And I was thinking, I actually do a lot of the exercises that you have in there, and I didn't even realize that I was getting benefits from that in
fantastic.
That area.
That's really great to hear.
It's wonderful. I love yoga and Pilates.
I think it's fantastic when you can put the two of them together.
Mm-hmm.
But the key thing is when you do these exercises, because sometimes they can be a little strenuous and a little bit difficult, is to bring your mind to your pelvis. And ask yourself on an hourly basis, if you're in a lot of pain, where are they? Because once you bring your awareness to them, you're going to feel like, oh, my God, they're so tight, they're so high.
Oh.
So with the yoga, I want a release of the muscles when you hold the yoga poses. With the Pilates, I want to coordinate the contraction with the relaxation.
Okay.
So we take it a step further. Every new physical therapy, my center here, and we say, okay, when you stretch, and it's a real deep stretch, you know how you're in yoga and sometimes it's a vigorous stretch?
Yes.
You know, and you're like feeling it and you can't breathe properly. We're like, okay, what are you doing? Where are the muscles? Let them go, release them down. Breathe into the whole pelvic area. And that would be a way to get rid of pain, especially if you're, you know, at work or having a flare up.
Oh, okay. And you also talk about visualizations, which is so important. Go on.
No, you go.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I just, you know, the whole mind-body thing, because I think a lot, I'm not putting down obstetricians, don't get me wrong, anybody's listening, but, you know, I don't think that's what's first on their mind. I would think like a mainstream obstetrician, but I think hopefully people are becoming more aware, and that the yoga and the mind-body and the visualization is key, I think, in helping a lot of different physical problems.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's all about the mind-body connection, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I tell my patients, you are what you think you are. mm-hmm. right? They tell me, am I going to have pain for the rest of my life? I say, well, what do you think? Because there's a little bit of psychology behind it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
So I think that if you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, you mentioned, I actually have a quote. You said, I've had many successes in treating women with sexual pain, and I must say that the women who are the most successful either possess or develop a positive fighting attitude and learn how to take control of their own pain.
Absolutely.
That really stood out for me.
And there's something that when they come in to see me, I really what we do here is to say, okay, what is their level of catastrophic thinking? And catastrophic thinking is like, okay, you wake up in the morning and say, oh, this is going to be a terrible day. I'm in pain. I'm going to be in pain all day long. There's nothing I can do about it. It is what it is. And then you can wake up and you say, you know what? I have pain today, but you know what? I have this book. I have these strategies that were taught to me. What can I do today to combat it? What strategies work for me today? What can I do with my breath, with the relaxation, with maybe a little bit of meditation to bring the tension down, to get the stress under control?
Yeah, that is so important. And what's missing in so many regular, you know, when you go to the doctor, you're just not hearing that. That's why I think it's so fabulous that you're doing this. Now, I wanted to ask you about scar spasms. I thought that was interesting. I had a C-section, mm-hmm. and I've been lucky. I don't have any pain down there, but I was curious that you said that sometimes you can get growths on the inside from having a C-section.
Oh,
if you can
absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, the one of the main groups that I treat here, and I think I call them the forgotten group, is the women who undergo C-section surgeries to have their babies. I mean, they go in, they get the C-section. The MD, you maybe have 1 to 2 postpartum visits just to, they're checking to make sure it's not infected. And then they send you home.
Yeah.
And then you have a scar, you have a brand new baby, you're in a lot of pain, and there are no strategies given to these women on how they can, get themselves better. Like, don't do anything for 6 weeks. But actually, the longer you wait, the more these adhesions build up, these fibrous taut bands that are scar tissue. And sometimes, I have a woman recently that came up to me 4 weeks post-op after her C-section, and she cannot hold her baby to breastfeed. So she's doing this football hold to breastfeed, so then, of course, she gets shoulder and neck pain
because
she can't put the baby in the proper position. And so I'm like, okay, let's check it out. And her OB was progressive enough to say, go see this therapist at 4 weeks. Sometimes I see them as early as 10 days.
Wow.
For C-sections. And I started doing some very gentle massaging, abdominal rolling, correcting her diastasis so that she doesn't have back pain, correcting her postural alignment. So massaging the C-section and restoring the core after that surgical procedure is key for women.
Yeah, you know, maybe I did well because I ignored the doctors. I was up. Well, I did yoga every day of my pregnancy.
Oh, that's
and
excellent.
It was so fun. Seriously, and I don't mean to brag, but after I had it, I was walking around 4 hours later, and they're like, you're not supposed to be walking around. And I didn't have much pain afterwards. And I think it's maybe because I got lucky or I was really active.
No,
I ignored the doctors. I mean, I was walking up and downstairs the first week, and I mean, I had I had other issues with my daughter. I had a really hard time with the nursing. I fought at it. I mean, we did it. You know, she nursed for 3 years, actually.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, I'm a huge lactivist, but she had a really high bubble palate. I mean, we had plenty of other issues, but that wasn't one of them, thank goodness.
Well, good for you. I think that the fact that you did yoga and you did some sort of, some conditioning during your pregnancy definitely helps you recover much faster in the postpartum period.
Yeah, because I was shocked, actually. I was expecting to have a lot of issues, and I didn't.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, I was glad. So that's something to get out there, too. Then you must talk to women about that, about doing the exercises, obviously, ahead of time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have a big, right now, we have so many pregnant women at the center. One of the main things that I teach them is how to restore themselves postpartum. Like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Day one, what are you going to do? Day two, what are you going to do? Day three, how are you going to get yourself back? How are you going to get yourself strong so you're bonding with your baby? Because if you're in pain, if you're deconditioned, if you're not feeling well, then that bonding is a little bit more difficult, you know?
Yes.
Because you're feeling out of sorts already.
Oh, we sure are. Yes, it's very, yeah, they don't talk about it. It's really hard having a baby.
Yeah, they really don't.
And you get so tired. I always make jokes with my husband, like, there should be some kind of thing where, you know, at the 9th month, you're so big and you're so uncomfortable and you're not sleeping well. And then, you know, you have this baby and they're up every 2 hours to nurse or whatever. You know, I was like, wait a second, where does the rest come in? You know?
There is no rest. There's no rest from a new mom. And then compound that with an episiotomy scar, a perineal tear.
Yeah.
You know, or a C-section. And it's like, oh, my God, no wonder these women are like, they come in here and they're like, they're a ghost. They don't even look like themselves.
No.
And we try to just bring them back in their bodies.
Now you just mentioned the episiotomy scars. What can you do for that? Is that, I think, is there like the perennial, is that what it's called, massage and stuff?
Yeah,
is
absolutely. Well, depending on when your OB gives you the okay, you can start massaging the scar.
Okay.
And you can start massaging it. You can do and in the book, it really gives you some nice photos on what to do. But you have to get clearance first because everybody heals at a different speed and a different level.
Okay.
So you can do some very gentle cross-friction massage externally, not even having to go inside. Because to go inside, sometimes they want you to wait the 6 weeks till you're fully healed.
Yeah.
And at that point, you can start doing some clock stretches, which I talk about, stretching the perineum from, if the perineum is a clock, stretching at the lower part of the clock downward. Like the way you would stretch your hamstrings, well, this is just a muscle. Would stretch the muscle in the same way.
Oh, okay. Because I'm thinking, I mean, so it sounds like if for sexual pain, for women who have the pain with the intercourse, it sounds like, I mean, to me, I'm automatically think, oh, it's got to be that. But you were saying it can be from the misalignment and some from other issues as well.
Oh, absolutely. It could be misalignment. If you have a diastasis recti, which
what's
you want
to... I meant to ask you that earlier when you mentioned that.
A diastasis recti is the separation of the abdominal muscles, the recti muscles, because they go down. You know how people have a six-pack?
Yes.
Is that in-between area?
Okay.
So in pregnancy, it tends to open up.
Yes, it does.
And get wider, you know.
Sure
not
does.
All the time, but it has to do with, like, body mechanics, how you're lifting the baby. And we go through that, and we teach you how to protect yourself that way, how you get in and out of bed. Is also critical, and we have some strategies in the book on how to not open that up and how to test yourself and how to correct yourself, because I have a research article that just came out about 3 months ago, and diastasis recti has been correlated with prolapses, pelvic pain, sexual pain, and incontinence. So you really want to close that up, and also back pain. So you really want to close that up, and also it's going to make your abdominals look better.
Yes,
yeah,
true.
You know, after you've had the baby, so if anything, for vanity, it will work.
Well, you know, my mother had a prolapsed uterus. She had to have a hysterectomy. That was after me. And sorry, Mom. And do you see a lot of women who've had hysterectomies that have issues as well?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Lord. Because I treat a lot of older women who get hysterectomies, and we start to focus on the scar tissue. That's the main thing.
Mm.
Restoring the core, that's the second thing. And one of the critical things, because also... there's a lack of estrogen if they're not having the hormone replacement.
Okay.
And I'm talking about natural bioidentical hormone replacement.
Okay.
Then you know you need the urethra and have estrogen receptors and you need that to close it up. But as you get older, you're lacking that estrogen.
That's true.
So your muscles have to be twice as strong.
Yeah, because they start to atrophy a bit.
They start to atrophy. So.
Yeah.
Coming in here, what we do is we have a biofeedback machine where we hook you up to a computer and you can see how your muscles contract and relax and what they're doing. This is a really cool thing.
Oh, wow.
And it gives them a visualization. And then I really stress because most women who have hysterectomies were prolapsed later on with the bladder or the rectum. And that's like 3 years out.
Oh,
so
right.
I really stress that you must keep those. It's a lifelong program. Like, the way you would brush your teeth, then you do your... In this case, you would want to do the Kegels unless they're having pain.
Okay. I see. Gosh, this is so fascinating. I would love to have you back on again because there's so many different issues we can talk about. You know,
oh,
there's
absolutely.
The pregnant women, there's the hysterectomies. And then there was something I'm probably going to say it wrong. Vaginismus?
Oh, vaginismus.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And what it is there's a reflex in the pelvic muscles that sometimes when you sense danger, you know how you go into fight or flight and everything contracts and you get ready to go, to move? Well, the muscles become so, so tight that nothing can get in there.
Ooh.
I mean, not even a Q-tip, which sometimes I saw women with a Q-tip in order to get them stretched out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a very strong muscle spasm. It doesn't allow for sexual penetration. So with those women, it's a lot of intravaginal massage and stretching and using these things called medical dilators to make the opening bigger to allow for sexual intercourse. And mm-hmm. one of the key things that if you have a daughter that you should pay attention to is she having trouble inserting a tampon? Because that really shouldn't be so difficult thing to do as a young child. And what I find is that a lot of these women, if they have a scoliosis of the spine, because the spine, the muscles are innervated by the nerves that come from the lumbar and the sacrum, if they have a scoliosis, sometimes it can affect these muscles. And when they get married, they're not able to consummate the marriage. So we get a lot of women here with that condition.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's sort of like they don't find out till the wedding night. It's like a big...
Oh, that's terrible.
It is terrible. It's very terrible. We've had several patients like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty sad.
Well, thank goodness that you had the courage to change your life and go back to school and help women out. I'm so inspired by your story.
Thank you. Really. I love it.
I can tell. That's what's great, too. You have such passion about it and energy. Speaking of energy, that's great.
And everybody here has the passion and has the energy, and I have some downloads that you can go to the website. And if you want to get some excerpts from the book, I've put some free excerpts on the endingfemalepain.com.
Okay.
Go down there, download some free excerpts, check it out, see if it works for you. So it's a good way just to get an introduction to see if you want to buy the book or if you feel like this is the kind of we call it the work that you need. The physical therapy work that you need as a new mom or as a woman, period.
Yeah, no, I highly encourage everyone to go out and get it. It is so important. And I want to thank you so much, Issa. And I would love to have you on in a few months, and maybe we can do like a series every few months and have
you
talk
about... I would love it.
Oh,
I would
good.
Love it because the more women have this information, the more empowered they're going to be.
Exactly.
The better consumers mm-hmm. they're going to be, you know, when they choose their caregivers.
That's true.
And it's just better. It's great for women.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big, you know, I like to empower women with the tools that they need to just have better and more fulfilled lives.
Yeah, well, so do I. So I'm so glad. And the other thing, too, is that these shows get recorded and they get put on my website. So I'll let you know when it's up there so you can put a link. And then that way, you know, I'm always on Facebook and other things letting people know. So that way, if they miss the interview, they can come back and listen. So I want to thank you so much. And thanks for coming on early. You were fabulous.
And thank you for having me. I really appreciate you and you getting the word out there. I think it's a fantastic, fantastic service that you're providing.
Well, thank you, Issa. I'll be in touch very shortly to set
Absolutely.
Up some more interviews. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. And if anyone wants to get in contact with me, go to itsyourhealthradio.org. And be sure to tell all your friends, if you listen to this fantastic interview today, that it'll be up in about a week. Have a great week, everyone. Keep being healthy. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.